called me and had asked me about preaching revival this week, and I had already committed on Wednesday night to church over in Buena Vista, and I hated it because I was really looking to come and everything. And he talked to deacons and everything, and they said that to come on and preach Sunday through Tuesday. So I'm glad to be here with you this week. I appreciate the church and all the deacons having confidence in us this week and being able to come and share God's word with you this week. Boy, if it ain't been a week. And I'm telling you, when you come down that bottom there and see those blue lights again, I think, one more thing this week. You know, we had fish fry at church yesterday, and most of y'all know my parents have both got cancer, so we've been back and forth taking care of them and everything, and it's been a really busy time for us, and doing about as good as could be expected, and I thank the good Lord for that, you know, that they're still doing about the same, really haven't been much change in them, but it's good to be here with you this week, and I hope and pray that everything leading up to tonight now, I appreciate the altar prayer tonight, we can clear our minds, clear our head, most of all, clear our heart, and get ready for what God's for us, got for us tonight, and this week, and I'm glad I feel you've been praying for me. I know Satan's been after me this week. This has been pretty tough, but if he ain't after us, he's got us, right? So tonight, had a thought this week. I had my message this morning. I preached. I had a good time and really enjoyed the word this morning. And preached out of the 8th chapter of Mark, about the 34th through 38th verse there this morning. And I always remember Brother Leslie talking about that word, whosoever, you know. Tonight, you know, it doesn't make any difference what your background's from, where you're from, what your story is up to this point tonight. But if you come seeking the Lord, I guarantee you he's seeking you tonight. So it just takes being obedient to the calling. And Titus 2:11 said that calling's going to come to all of us at one time or the other. What we do with it is, that's on us. And Brother Mike talked about that, about the Holy Spirit and a lot of people not listening. And tonight, I've seen a lot of things here in the last several days that we've been trying just to get settled down. We've had people trying to break into our church, and I know some of us have already experienced that in the past and everything. And you got to be careful not getting self of that, get angry. You have to keep that because... And the fact is, in this day and time we live in right now, people have lost respect for the house of God. You know, I mean, when I was at Cedar Grove, we had an episode where we had windows busted out, and then, you're angry, and you get there, and all your church members are there sweeping up glass and boarding up windows and everything, and then you go to the house and think things are all right, and they come back and hit the other side. And that, I think, 6 different churches, Brother Beals, I believe, went on that night, too. So we see a lot of things, a lot of evil in this world, and it's a... when we get over getting angry about it, we get concerned about those people. My dad, like Brother Steve, served in he was drafted during Vietnam. He served in Germany, and like Brother Steve did. And my dad had, when he got back home, him and my mother had dated for about a year. He got sent off to come back. He'd been back home about 2 weeks, and they got married about 2 weeks later. And they had a little trailer over there in Hollow Rock crossing the railroad tracks. And what happened was he put in these applications all over the place. He about decided he was going to go to school at Bethel on the GI Bill. And he went over and talked to him at DuPont. And DuPont called him. The railroad called him the next day. They took the job at DuPont. They called him first. Went over and tried to talk the guy out of hiring him because he was going to go to Bethel. And they said, well, just try it. See, like it. He ended up being over 33 years. No, Brother Jackson worked with him. So he gets back. He was over there like the first or second day of work. Got stuck by a train over in Hall Rock. That ain't gotten any better in 2025 either. And he got hung up by a train. He said, I can't handle this. So they went and they bought a house in Brewston down there on Ash Street where they were living when I was born. And my granddaddy had a problem with some plumbing over there. Of course, he'd been about 2 weeks out of the Army. He didn't have any tools or anything to work with. And my granddaddy went over there and got help with him. Of course, my granddaddy was a mechanic and maintenance man. DuPont for a long time. He owned a service station there in Brewston. So he always had an abundance of tools. Now, and so he goes over to help my dad plumbing and got a little frustrated because my daddy didn't have like a hammer and a screwdriver, and that's about it. You can't do any plumbing with those things. So he got a little irritated at him. He said he finally blowed up, and Granddad Gaines was a calm man, you know, till he got mad. When he got mad, he throwed that screwdriver or that hammer foot down and said, "Son, you've got to have the proper tools when you work on something. You can't just come out here and just, you know, you've got to have the proper tools." So Daddy said he was sitting there shaking his head. I thought, "Lord, no, Daddy's mad now." Well, he come back, this great big old toolbox sat down. He said, "Now let's get this fixed." You know, he had the proper tools. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the proper tools that we need to serve God. Proper tools is something we need. In the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter, I want to read these scriptures here before I get into my thought tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I'm going to ask Brother Roger Frazee if he'll take us to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our thought tonight.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us, Lord, another opportunity, Lord, to get together on this side of eternity, Lord, to worship and praise you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. We pray, Lord, and Lord, to crown this service, Lord, with your love, your mercy, Lord, and your grace, Lord. We pray, Lord, and Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, if I don't know you, Lord, this will be a night, Lord, and Lord, if that move, Lord, and come. Lord, we pray, Lord, that each need, Lord, be met, Lord, so we all have needs, Lord, in our lives and in our families. Lord, we pray, Lord, Lord, that each one, Lord, will turn it over to you, Lord, and bless our brother. Yes. Lord, we stand, Lord, and break the bread of life, Lord. Lord, just give the great word and speak, Lord. Give us receptive hearts, Lord, we can take your word in, Lord, and Lord, use it, Lord, in our daily life, Lord, and bring glory and honor unto you.
Amen. God shows his ultimate love for us with Christ on the cross, right? He said, and we know that if he didn't love us, he would have left us out here with no opportunity to make heaven our home, because none of us are worthy. We know the scripture tells us our righteousness is a filthy rag. I mean, you know, that none of us are worthy of that. But God loved us enough to give his son. And of course, we know through the word of God and John's gospel, it tells us the word become flesh. Now, we've got access to the tools that we need to be good workers for God in this life. We have access to the tools, and I'm afraid, you know, does everybody, a lot of people I know, I'm sure know, the Andy Griffith Show, there's a man that come through and was a handy man, you know, and, he didn't do much work. You know, he shook hands there with the mailman. He said, "He's got the softest hands of any handyman I've ever seen." You know, because he wasn't doing the actual work. You know, an old Gold Brick Wheeler, I think, was his name. You know, he shook hands with that man. He said, "That man's got the softest hand of any handyman that I've ever seen." There are a lot of Christians who are doing the Gold Brick Wheeler. They've got a truck full of tools. We've got all these tools that we can use, but we're not putting them to use. You know, we've got access to so many great tools that we can go out here, and we've got more to work with now than anything. There's, you know, what are the tools for? They're to do what? To fix things that are broke, make things that are old, new, all the things that God gives us the power to. And this, the very first thing we'll talk about is the Word of God. The Word of God. The owner's manual to Christianity is what I like to call it. It's something that guides us through, and it's the wonderful thing about it is, and I've told this a lot of times behind the pulpit, I was struggling really bad with something early in the ministry, and I had asked God, been praying and praying and praying, and I said, you know, "Lord, I need to see something in the Scripture that shows me that I'm doing right," because I had people who were good God-fearing people that were giving me counsel, and I didn't feel like that was the way that the Lord was leading me. And I knew my walk with him, and I knew God wasn't the author of confusion. So I got into the Word of God, and I come to the part where Paul was on the road to Damascus there, and Ananias questioned You know, about going laying hands on Saul at the time, like Jesus had told him to do. And I said, well, you know, and then Jesus, in paraphrasing here, said to, you know, to go lay hands on him. In other words, I know what he's capable of. You know, and so that was the big bright light that I needed to see that said, hey, you know, listen to me first. Listen to me. Those people have your best wishes. You know, they got you in their best intent for your life going forward. But when it comes down to it, you've got to choose God above all things. I mean, that's, you know, when me and my wife got married, I told her, I said, the highest you'll ever get with me is number two, because God's going to be first, because I realize what he's brought me from. Her being the sister of a pastor and the granddaughter of a pastor, she understood that. And that makes her a good helpmate for me. She understands the order of things in my life today. But when I think about the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 is where we need to go really to talk about just how amazing this Word is. You know, in a day and time that we live in right now, I might have 30 people there on Sunday morning. But when it comes time for Sunday school, you know, I'm afraid God's people have got a little bit arrogant and got a little bit, like, hey, I don't need to go. I stepped through, you know, 30 years of that, you know, through my life. You know, I've heard all those things. I don't need that. Let me tell you something. That's where you can really expound upon the Word of God. Things that we can hit the high points on at time during week when we get behind the sacred desk, preach the Word of God. You know, not everything's covered in an hour sermon, you know. You get what you put into it. I mean, you get back what you put into it. And so I think, you know, in this day and time, there needs to be more of an effort to get into more Bible study and more. And, you know, we're at a time right now where with this technological age that we've got, it's easier now to access God's Word than it ever has been. And fewer people are there. Fewer people are taking advantage of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "It's given that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This is something we need, you know, we need to take into us when we talk about these tools that God gives us. The Word of God is something that does not, despite what others say, does not need revision or correction. The same Word of God that your parents and grandparents were saved under the preaching of is the same Word of God that needs to be preached today. There's too many, we talk about in the book of Revelations, they're talking about adding or taking away from the words of this prophecy. It said the plagues of this book be added them, and their name be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't get any more serious than that right there. So this Word does not need to be tampered with. And it does most assuredly need to be written on the tables of your heart, because there's going to be a time that you're going to need. I lived in sheer terror when I was called to preach that, hey, I wouldn't have a scripture to share it with somebody when they come up with the problem. I said, you know, all the time I said, I'd been out of church, you know, 18 years when I'd come back. So I hadn't been in Bible study. I hadn't been in Sunday school in years. I'd only been back in church 1 year. So I didn't feel equipped, you know, but when I prayed and asked God, he started opening up my mind and expanding my mind to get more in. And most importantly, expanding my heart where I could have it rolled on the tables of my heart, because it's something that is essential to be pleasing to God. You can't follow God if you don't know what His Word says. Amen? I mean, we can't do it. We cannot be pleasing to Him if we don't know what the statutes and the standards are. And time after time, our God tells us in His Word that you love and you show your love by me by keeping my commandments, keeping my laws, keeping my statutes, constantly being obedient to what the Word of God tells us to do. You know, this 17th verse is that the man of God be made perfect. We can't be made perfect in the flesh, but we can be made perfect through the Spirit. That's the thing right now. There's a difference between a spiritual man and a carnal man and the battles that we face today. I'm going to tell you, if you face them as a fleshly man, as a carnal man, you're going to fail. But if you face them in the Spirit today, God will get you a way to get through these things. That common thing, people say, God won't put more on you than you can stand. Oh, yeah, He will. Yes, He will, to humble you down when you call upon Him. And I tell you, you don't see that happen to, you know, a lot. People throw their hands up and get discouraged, and they get distracted, and they take their eyes off the Lord, and they're like old Peter out there walking on that water. They start sinking. You know, well, this morning, though, I had a man there in my church sung a song about, I'm not going to drown in shallow waters. We've seen a lot of people drown in shallow waters. The troubles that they go through in this life don't seem like they'd be insignificant things to us, but they were enough that they didn't address them with God that they were consumed by. Little things. Brother Jerry, how many times did we hear him say, if it concerns you, it concerns the Lord? I mean, every message it seemed like that popped out, and I tell you what, it's essential. Because little things can tear you down. Those cancer cells start out as tiny little cells, but they can consume a person, and they can eat them up. And that's exactly how it is spiritually. If you don't stay in the Word of God and stay, you know, studied up, everything, the Bible tells us to, Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved. I'm going to tell you something. That's something to think about. And a lot of it's wise for the preachers. That's for the Sunday school teachers. That is for every Christian today, because you're going to be put in places all throughout this week where preachers and Sunday school teachers ain't going to be. And you're going to be the voice of God in those places. That's why He, you know, grow where you're planted. You know, wherever He puts you. I didn't know as a 23-year-old man why I was going to be working at Motor Parts and Bearings in Hot Rock, because all I knew how to do was change oil and put gas in one. That's all I knew. But I meant more of the spiritual influences in my life in that job. I meant good men of God, good solid men of God. And but when I announced my call to preach and I had rededicated my life to God, they were there encouraging me all the way. I didn't know why I had to be there, but it's the best job I ever had. Probably made some of the less money, but I got more knowledge from those men because they were the same outside of church as they were inside of church. They were out there. Melvin Walker just passed away. He come up there on a Saturday morning, made me breakfast, brought it up there to me, tried to invite me and entice me to come to church with him. Because he saw that I was lost. He saw that I was a sinner and I needed help today. When was the last time that God placed somebody up on your heart that you reached out and extended that hand of fellowship or something to do something nice for somebody? I tell you, that right there can spark a movement. Now, I mean, you know, Betty Bradford asked me to say a blessing one time at a Thanksgiving dinner, and I was about as low as a snake's belly at that time, the way I was living. And I tell you, I'm sure it sounded like one more pitiful prayer. But I'm going to tell you what it did. It got me to thinking, because I had the foundation of Jesus Christ put in my life. And what it did was open my eyes spiritually that I was not right with God. And I needed to get things right with God, you know. And I tell you, I kid her about that to this day because, that was preachers present there. And she called on me, and I thought me and Nick Bradford laughed at me because he said, she'll put you on the spot, won't she? I said, yeah, she did. But it woke me up. And it started the process of getting God where He could get me to where He could use me. Are you letting Him use it? Are you using the tools that are at your disposal? The Word of God is so precious to us. One of the most absolute important things there is number two, and that's the prayer. Our communication with God. Our communication. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God still making intercession for us when we fail and come short and ask Him. You know, and I'm so glad that, you know, I appreciate the preaching of mercy and grace, but I think that we've hammered that so much today that people do not remember that God is a God of wrath and vengeance as well. You know, that there is a standard that we're supposed to be living up to. Have that communication with God. I'm glad, you know, I told this story before. I was driving down to Birmingham during rush hour, 5 lanes of traffic bumper to bumper, and everybody doing about 85. Dangerous. You know, it was a dangerous place. And I was listening to a message on a tape that Brother Junior Hollingsworth was preaching, and I was crying like crazy. And I thought, man, these people see me, they're going to think I'm crazy. Now, I might be crazy, but I was full of spirit at that time. You know, I didn't care who was looking at me, you know. And I tell you one thing, that's something we've got to get back to. That, you know, when these altars was filled with people before revival started, and I've heard about them being off down in the log woods praying, you know, before, that's what we've got to get back to. There's no reason that we can't get back to that time. People's concerned with so many things in the world that it has clouded our vision for what God can really do in our life. Revival is needed now, more than ever. People are being deceived because they're taking their gospel from social media and news outlets and things like that and not from the pages of the Word of the living God. They're taking it from other places today. And study to show thyself approved. That don't mean study to show thy pastor approved. It means to show yourself approved. That you, what you're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to do with your life. Prayer is something that we've got to have in our life, communication that we need with God. You know what that does? That builds us. That builds us. When we pray, you know, how many times, I've given this example a lot of times. 1996, my mother had two aneurysms. Day before my sister's wedding, fell out with two aneurysms, one here and one on the stem going into her brain. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I was in a bad way at that time. I wasn't in church, had a filthy mouth, wasn't living for God. I'd been out of church for a long time, about 5 years at that time. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, you know, for my mom. Lord, just please let her live. Bring her through this trouble. You know, let her see her grandkid. I was praying all these different prayers for my mom. I knew she looked forward to that. You know, the senior grand. I prayed and prayed and, you know what? Five people come through there with brain aneurysms and my mom was the only one that lived. And she had two. Four of those people died. And mama was the only one. And let me tell you what happened. I went right back to living the way I was. Didn't thank God, just went right on back the way I was. Never took time to thank you, God, for bringing my mother through that stuff. Just considered He owed it to me, you know. And I'm afraid we get that far out that we get to that point. Let me tell you, like I said a while ago, you know, the common thing, God won't put more on you than you can stand. He will, and to bring you closer to Him. To understand that it ain't all about you. It ain't all about Billy. It's about God. It's about serving Him. I lost everything I had. I lost my three-bedroom brick house. I was barely holding on to my Explorer at the time. I had a 2004 Explorer, and I was barely. I done got repoed once. I went and got it. Listen, I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me, what He's brought me from. When I was a 36-year-old man, I had probably close to $100,000 in debt. Right now, I owe for one of my vehicles. My house is paid for. My car is paid for. I don't have a whole lot of debt in this life. And I've got plenty of money to make my bills and my payments and stuff today. God has supplied me with what I need. You know what that took? Me getting broke down and have to finally realize, God, I need you. I need you to direct me in this life. I need you now. And so when I called on Him, that He heard my prayer. You know, it built my relationship with Him better than it ever has. When I hit the ground, most of y'all know, you know, I preached for years at 600 pounds, you know. And when I hit the ground every morning, I thank God for the health to be able to stand up here and preach the Word of God. I told Him if He would let me do that, I would go for Him and I would do for Him. And I go a lot of places and preach God's Word. And I'm appreciative of what He's done for me today. I've got a strong prayer life with Him today. I take it to Him because I know I can't fix it. It's something that builds our relationship with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your face. That perfect word there again. That's fixing up. Fixing things up. Using the tool of prayer. You know, the Bible tells us that we have the right to approach the throne of grace boldly. Now, I used to think that word boldly was bad. I used to think that meant like smart aleck. That's what I used to think. Boldly means you have a God-given right to be there to ask because you're one of His. Now, I think that gets blurred a lot too. I read about it this morning. That child of God, you know, gets thrown around loosely there. You know, are you living for Him or are you just there going through the motions? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. Are we in that position? You know, when we get our prayer, when we get into start studying the Word of God and we get our prayer life in order, the next thing that we need to do is start to find a place to grow. As I say, grow where you're planted. When God leads you somewhere, now listen, I'm not telling you, don't you go somewhere where they're not preaching the Word of God without fear or favor of man. They're sugarcoating, especially if you've got young children, parents, grandparents. Don't let them go somewhere where they're not preaching the Word of God with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, because when they do that, listen, conviction will set in on a child that's lost, on a grown-up that's lost, when the Word of God is preached like that. And it's something, you know, that we need to look at. Find you a place, a church to grow. So, you know, you might have to go to one or two or three different churches. But here's the problem in that. When you get to where you've, when you're searching for one, miss one Sunday, and it's a whole lot easier to miss that second one. Amen? When you miss that second one, it's easier to miss the third and the fourth. And by the time you know it, you're stopped being convicted about it. So it's important to find a church, plant yourself there and grow. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he said, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, there's that perfecting there again. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, God will use you if you'll allow Him to. It may not be in the role you want. I sure didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't what I wanted to do. That's not what I would have said. No, you know. Matter of fact, Brother Bill was preaching a revival at Faith, and I went in there and I thought, man, I could preach tonight. I felt that strong about it, and I thought, get that thought out of your head now, boy. You know, this is the same one who stood up in front of the class, or didn't stand up in front of the class, took zeros, wouldn't read his oral reports out. Did the work to do the report, but I wasn't going to get up there in front of people and talk. And look now what happened. I mean, you know, now, Kylie made a statement one time. Kylie Weston made a little statement. Me and Brother Justin did the radio over here for years. And she'd been to dance class and had a bad day. Her and Heather come in, and she said, you remember this, right? She come in, and she was all long face and down, and she looked all discouraged and everything. She said, Justin said, well, how'd it go? Well, we had a real tough day today. Well, I got on the radio that morning, got on there and started reading the scriptures, and I had the wrong chapter. I was reading out the wrong chapter. I said, that ain't what I was wanting to read. So I had to back up and correct myself and go back and read what I was wanting to read. I'd turn my page to the wrong page, and I'd read the wrong thing. And I said, I'm sorry, I messed up. So I told Kyle, I said, how many people was there? About 10, something like that. She said, yeah. I said, well, how many people do you think heard me mess up on those scriptures this morning? And Kyle, it went, thousands. I said, no, maybe not that many, but a lot more than 10. You know? So, I mean, you know, it's important. You know, I'm like, that was a moment I'll never forget because, you know, I had that. We make mistakes along the way. But the thing is not to dwell on those mistakes and not stay down that path. To get right back on the straight and narrow, not to let those things hinder us. In the church, you know, today there's so many different positions that you can do in church. Something. If it's playing piano, you know, I've seen people who got a talent to do music and then step back on it and not do it. Let me tell you, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I've seen that work out right in front of me before. When God gives you something to do today, you don't need to step back on that. You need to do it and do it to the best of your ability. Not just go up there, well, let me go up here today. You need to, when you come through the doors of the house of God today, you need to have one thing on your mind, and that's God. You know, all those things that got distracted out here today, the things of the world that's got everybody's vision, as I said, clouded before. Now, you come in bringing that stuff, the first stop you need to make is right here. Because this represents, at the foot of the cross, is what these two benches right here, man made them. There's no virtue in them, but they're a place set aside in the house of God that we need to begin to bring our troubles to. And when we do that, we'll start to see people get closer. That's what we've got to do. Is get back to that time. That's just, we're scared to death that people's going to think, well, that guy's got something wrong with him and he's going down the altar. I wonder what it is, you know? Nobody in here is without trouble. Everybody. Man is born, a woman's a few days before the trouble. But I'm going to tell you something. The walk is going to be worth it. The miles that you travel for God and the work that you put in is going to be worth it. Listen, in this church alone, over the years, Sister Lillian's done been brought up. You know, Sister Lillian would slip me a few dollars on my radio ministry here and there. You know, I said, all right, Miss Lillian, here, I'm going to give you this. Now, this is a widow living by herself. I'm sure she was on some kind of a pension or something, but she wanted to help me out, encourage me today. And we're encouraging people today. And we're getting out there and trying to, you know, Sister Ellie's, I get off the radio. How many times I get off the radio when I see that light blinking on my phone? She'd be telling me that I enjoyed that message this morning. Enjoyed that song. But then start quoting scripture to you. Everything, because she had it written on the tables of her heart. I don't think she was sitting there reading it from the actual Bible, but she had it written here. And Brother Sam, always encouraging to me, always giving us a motivation and uplifting. Bob Creasy was one here that was always giving me, and he worked with my dad for years. Brother Jack worked with my dad. You know, they always encouraging me and everything. I'm going to tell you something. We get to a point where we see people, you know, had people took the view of me, of the actual me, Before I got back in church, they just said, there ain't no sense in messing with him. Ain't no sense in messing with him. He done went too far gone. That's where we get in trouble, when man's eyes see something, but God sees something deeper. God sees something deeper than that. And that's the importance of the fellowship of our local churches. That's what we need today. Go in and support it. I'm looking around the house today, and I'm seeing Prospect, and I'm seeing Galilee, and I'm seeing West Side, and I'm seeing Faith, all here represented tonight, Mount Sinai. You know, I'm seeing all these different churches here today representing. That's what it takes. We've got to start coming back together. Because Satan is powerful. And he's got as much power as we'll let him have, too. So it's important that we do that. Find a place where God plants you and grow there. And start to do. Everybody's not called to do the same thing. You know. And Jennifer sung for a long time, and I thought that's what I was going to be able to do. You know, I thought that's going to be my work. Brother Jerry got me up there to read devotion. I taught Sunday school a little bit. I did that, but it was something more. A lot of times it's some baby steps getting up there to the main thing God wants you to. But if God gets you somewhere and He's satisfied with you there, stay there, but grow. Get more and more involved. Now, next thing I want to talk about is the individual believers. I talked about a couple of them right then. The encouragement that Brother Sam and Sister Eloise and Sister Lillian and those the ones, Brother O'Neill, always encouraging to me. Always was, always had a good word for me. Brother Leonard Greer, probably at the top of that list. You have to understand, when you're standing in my shoes, I was a year removed from being an alcoholic. I hadn't been in church but 1 year when God called me to preach. Back in church 1 year. 1 year. Brother Greer got behind me. I want to encourage you tonight. If there's somebody, some young minister you see, who needs encouragement? Let me tell you something. He would call LC, he'd call Bill, he'd call people and see where I was going to be, and he'd show up there every time. On Wednesday night, he'd be there. He'd get me to preach revival. Brother Mike, I preached the revival at Pleasant Hill out there, and it was Durwood Worley, Mike Melton, Euless Greer, Ricky Jordan, and there was one more, and may have been Jim McKay and Billy Hollingsworth. And I said, one of them names don't belong. And Brother Greer said, yes, it does. It wouldn't be on there. And I'm going to tell you something. That encouraged me. That kept me encouraged and stuff. Because you still got them people in your old life that love to bring up your past and love to bring you down. But I'm telling you something. I'm going to stand in judgment one day. Not with those people, but I'm going to stand there, me and the Lord. That's all. Ain't nobody else going to be with me. And so, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You know, when we talk about this, be like the people who helped you and encouraged you along the way. Brother Roger gave me time and time when he pastored Thompson. You know, he didn't have no help out there. I got to preach a lot on Wednesday night and Sunday night out there, and that encouraged me. I preached the first time I preached away from Galilee here. You know, I mean, I had people help me along. Me and Brother Bill, I don't even know how many Bibles me and him have been in together and everything, but people have always been encouraging me. They've always helped me. Brother Justin, I think we had a 12-week stretch there one time. And I remember getting off the radio, and we had like 2 weeks, wasn't it, before the next one we had coming up. Got off the radio, and he went on before me. And I got out, and he called me, and all I hear is just laughing on the other end. He said, you know them 2 weeks we had? And he said, forget it. We just got called to do one in Holly Leaf over there. We was doing every other night and everything. But it was great. Hey, we didn't know we was tired, did we, Justin? We didn't know. We had a good time in the Lord. You know, I love them Miles, those brothers and everything. But, you know, Jesus give us an example about people keeping godly people around us. You know, Peter, James, and John, and that inner circle there that he always had with him, they keep godly people close to you. Listen, I'm not telling you to shun those that are ungodly. You share God with them. They'll probably walk away, or they'll get convicted and walk to Jesus. One of the two. One of the two. But listen, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Y'all hear that? Restore. Now, don't cast them aside. Don't kick dirt on them when they're down. That's not what it says. Don't write them off. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's the problem in this day and time we live in. It's easy to judge people. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most misused scriptures in the Word of God is everybody gets under, they're judging me. I judge places that I'm going to send my daughter to be. I don't want to put her in harm's way. I judge things that are at her disposal that she can look at on social media or on television and stuff. If you don't judge those things, you're setting them up to fall right into the traps of the devil. And, hey, I'm a little disappointed in all y'all. Justin just laughs at me. Y'all didn't tell me this parenting thing was this hard. Especially being one for the first time at 50 years old. I mean, there is so much more stuff than our parents had to look out for that you got to watch out for now because it comes wrapped up in pretty packages that are enticing to young kids. You better be hovering over them and looking because it's easy for them to be deceived. So, I appreciate that. But restore somebody when you see them now. Fifth thing I want to talk about tonight on these proper tools that we need to do the work for God is one that's this is odd, but it's something we need. And you're thinking, and I'm going to get the question marks on this, and is the suffering. The suffering. I thought we was talking about tools to build people up, right? Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. So, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I read a book. Brian Pafford gave me a book about the time I got back in church and everything. It's a book that's the autobiography and a self-help book, Christian self-help book, called Quiet Strength, written by the former Indianapolis and Tampa Bay coach Tony Dungy. Anybody that's ever heard Tony Dungy speak know what a godly man he is. But he taught him and his wife adopted several children. And they had this one child who got it real young. I think parents were on drugs or something. And him and his wife adopted this child that was real little. Sitting on the bed one day, it fell off. And hit his head and it didn't cry. And they were like, well, that's a tough baby, to do that. Well, then another instance happened a few days later from that, and it was something that definitely that the baby had banged its head or something and should have cried, and it didn't. It had a neurological disorder where it could not feel pain. And people would say, man, what a blessing. No. What a curse. He said, a two-year-old child walking by an oven with his favorite cookie baking in the oven there, and it looks through that glass window there and see that cookie, what's its reaction to be? Reach in there and grab that. If there's no pain, it'll reach in there anyway. Aristotle said there is no learning without pain. The pain and suffering that we go through is one of the tools that makes us the strongest. The things that we overcome through Christ Jesus are the things that make us the real strong ones. I mentioned this man this morning. I've got a friend of mine that graduated high school with me named Corey Meggs. I never heard a cuss word come out of his mouth. I've never seen him walk in anything but the straight and narrow path. He's been a minister for over 20 years now. He pastored a big church at Somerset, Kentucky. Went to work for K-Love here about a year ago as a pastor, counselor to those people that call in the radio station to talk and talk to and counsel. Never known him anything. I'm just as called to preach the gospel as he is, even though I didn't walk the same path. I understand that today, and I had a struggle with that. When I first come back to the Lord and when I had announced my call to preach, that God didn't call just one man to preach the gospel. I've been through some pain and suffering in my life that he had never been through. Now, who's to say he won't go through it tomorrow? But my road's been different than his. He's one that stayed the course. I'm the one that veered off. The pain and suffering makes you realize more that you need God. The time, we talk about, my wife said, sometime we see, it don't seem like there's a lot of movement going on and everything. And now my wife lost a brother at 42 years old on Easter Sunday, 2012. with a brain hemorrhage. Saw her father battle throat cancer twice and pass away from that. Seen my mother-in-law have many strokes, and I'm not talking M-I-N-I, I'm talking M-A-N-Y, strokes over the years. And then buried her husband 3 years ago, September of 30 years. My wife's been through some pain. And if you ain't been through that pain, you just ain't got close enough yet, because you ain't there yet. When you get to a point where you go through the suffering and the pain, that's when you really know you need God. You can't do it on your own. I imagine a 51-year-old woman with a 9-year-old child sitting there was wondering what was going to be the next thing. Going to have to go back, work, going to, you know. My wife's got a degree from Austin Peay State University that sits in the closet because she stays home and homeschools my child. That's what she does. She put her schooling and everything she did on the back burner because she's more worried about waiting 22 years before she was able to have a child. Her and David tried for years, couldn't have a child. You know, we went and saw Pastor Tyler Galdon last week down in Savannah. I really like him. He's a good guy. Priest, you know, he was over there and he was talking about his sister-in-law waited 7 years. My wife waited 22. She's almost 42 years old when she had Emma. And so, you know, she's been through some trials and stuff. And that makes you stronger. She's got a strong faith. Lord knows she needs it married to me. But the things you go through in this life, you know, don't use them as destruction. We've seen a lot of people drown in them shallow waters, little bitty troubles and stuff that got people off the track. Let me tell you something. Take every kind of obstacle you get through and you go over and everything, let it make you stronger in the Lord. These brothers right here I know have done the nursing home ministry like I did. Those people ain't got a lot to look forward to in life, you know. The ones that are terminal in there, they don't have a lot. A lot of them don't have a lot of family visiting them and everything. And I try to encourage them and tell them, and it's a fact, you know, they may do their greatest work for God when their body's failing and they keep that smile on their face. You know, I'm waiting. I remember Jackie Biggs, remembering Brother Bill, me and Brother Roger helped on this funeral. Had stubs for fingers, lost fingers because of diabetes, had both legs. He was a big man, about 6'4", 6'5", pro wrestler at one time. Didn't have any leg, had little stubs for fingers. And when me and Brother Roger get there, boy, I'm looking forward to service today. I'm looking forward to service today. I'm going to tell you something. The man had been through troubles, and he knew who to bring him out of. The Word of God is the power, that tool that we need so much. Prayer is a tool. Get in church and grow in church and work for God on a bigger scale than just one-on-one. Hey, I don't need church. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I can serve him right here. You can serve him better out there with other people and being a light to them and trying to encourage them. Individual believers, remember those people like the L.E.'s and Sam and the people who's done gone on, Brother O'Neill's, those ones that encourage us. Pass that on to this next generation. Tell people about how God has been good to you. Tell them, you know, I've said this a lot of years, and I still believe it in every ounce of my being. When God brings you something and gives you a testimony, and you sit back and don't share it, you're holding the Word of God back from people. Because God gave you that to share with other people. That's not as easy for a lot of people. A lot of people are backward, shy, and I've been there. You know, before I called to preach, I didn't want to get up in front of people and talk. When I started going to Galilee General Baptist Church, I sat in the back corner. Very back corner. Far away I could get. I didn't want to get up here close to the heat. You know, I stayed back there in the corner. The suffering that I went through got me humbled down enough where I needed God. If you see somebody that's in that suffering today, you offer them a word of encouragement. Give them a word to push them along. If nothing else I ever got from here at Sandy Point, people have supported me and been good to me and talked me up always filled me with positivity and stuff. And ain't that what God is? God's love. Or should. Now, the Word will correct us. And it'll if we ain't getting chastised, we ain't doing something right. It'll let us know, you know. And we still fail and we still come short. But I'm going to read that scripture one more time in 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. It fixes you up. God can fix you up today. establish, strengthen, settle you. I'm glad of that. I'm settled today. You know, that old song, old count, settled long ago. I've made things right with God. You know, I'm looking forward. I've got something better to look forward to today. I'm not worried about if I leave this walk of life today where I'm going to spend eternity. I've made my mind up. I'm going to serve God with the time I have left. You know, I thought, I haven't been here since I've been 52, I don't think. You know, I'm 52. I'm the age that my maternal grandfather was when he passed. That eye opened me. 30 didn't bother me. 40 didn't bother me. 50 didn't bother me. 52, You know, because that's when my grandfather left this walk of life. So I've kind of looked at this a little bit closer. And I'm thankful for every time I get to preach the Word. Because I'm hoping, you know, hey, last week, you know, I think we had, you know, that Bible, that song, we listened to it on the way up here, Dust on the Bible. I used to sing it every once in a while. Dust on the Bible, a lot of dust on the altar too, ain't it? A lot of dust on the altar. I was thinking about that today. I've been hammering, and I'll tell you the truth, 2 weeks ago I preached a message, and we had a baby shower for a girl going to church there. And I got out, and I had my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I flipped it on, and Jonathan Vaughn said, "You trying to get run off from over there?" And I said, "No, I'm not trying to. I'm just preaching what God gave me." And he said, "Well, it was good. I liked it." He said, "It woke me up a little bit there." And I said, "But I'm telling you, now, fast forward, last Sunday, we had 6 on the altar. It's worth the struggle. It's worth the fight. Don't be discouraged. Keep pumping. Listen, don't stop. Don't say, you never in this Word of God will you read any place where it says stop because things got difficult. Tonight, I love you. I'm going to ask you, you know, if you're not where you need to be tonight, if you're lost and you need the Lord, if you got backslidden or cold and indifferent tonight, make tonight that you start to get revived. Revived. God's been here tonight. Listen, He tried everything to shut this thing down tonight. When I seen them blue lights, I thought, Amy said, "What else could happen this week? What else?" And I said, "Yep." I said, "The devil don't want us here tonight, but God does." You know, when they said, "Let us through." So tonight, this week, you pray for us this week. You pray for those, you invite somebody to come out. I know there's 4 other revivals that I know of going on this same week tonight. Listen, pray for all those too. Because God can be in all them places. An omnipresent God can be in all of them. And we can see a big movement. This country and this world is starving for a big movement right now. They are. And the Bible does say in the last day there'll be an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. So we need to be ready for it. When it comes, you know, we need to be ready for it. Prepared, prayed up, studied up, ready to serve Him with these proper tools that we have to serve Him with tonight. That's what I've got tonight, Brother Mike. My hand's clean if y'all want to get some good song invitation tonight. But I've laid out here what God's given me and laid up on my heart tonight. So I beg you, if there's something between you and the Lord tonight, listen, this ain't the time to be shameful. I'm telling you right now, I think we don't have very many kids coming in the altar today because the grown-ups ain't leading them there. Don't get comfortable tonight. If you want to see revival, it's going to start with you stirring. It's going to start with you stirring. And God will pour it out. If we'll be obedient to Him this week, God will pour it out for us tonight. Be ready for it. God bless you is our prayer.